Yle Areena.
Hello and welcome to All Points North. I'm Matthew Schulke, and I'm standing in one of the coolest neighborhoods in the entire world. Today's episode is certainly one for the city slickers, and those like myself with a certain love for and interest in Helsinki. British travel magazine Time Out released its list of the 39 coolest neighborhoods in the world. Tokyo's Jimbocho district topped the ranking, with neighborhoods in Antwerp, Sao Paulo, London, and Chicago rounding out the top five. As you may have guessed, one of Helsinki's neighborhoods also made the list. Now, if you haven't read the article, you might have an idea about what this neighborhood could be. But surprisingly, Kallio, the district in Helsinki that has been known for hipsters, artists, and nightlife, did not come in on the list at all. Instead, the magazine ranked Valila, Kallio's neighboring neighborhood, and where I'm currently recording from, as the ninth coolest in the whole world. Maybe I'm a tad biased, being a resident of what has long been considered Helsinki's stereotypically cool neighborhood, Kallio. But the two neighborhoods have always seemed to have a big brother, little brother dynamic, with Kallio being the big brother, in my opinion. So to find out more, I went straight to the source and spoke with Antti Helin, the travel journalist who penned the neighborhood's write-up for Time Out. Fittingly, we met up at a brewery in Valila.
Thanks for joining me here today, Antti. Can you just tell us a little bit about where we are right now?
Okay, so we are in Valila, in Konepaja area, in the Olarin Panimo small brewery. The place is actually big, but I really like the atmosphere of this brewery bar, because they actually do the, you know, there's the glass windows you see where they're actually brewing the beer, so it's really fresh, it comes directly, 20 meters from the brewing tanks. And it captivates this kind of a rough and rugged feel that Valila still partly has. Because it's not very like a coherent neighborhood in that sense that, you know, you have these big roads cutting it in pieces. So if you come here and don't know what Valila is, you might be wondering, what the heck, what am I doing here? I mean, you know, in the middle of big roads only. But then you have these nice nooks like around this like Puu Valila, Wooden Valila, and then you have this Konepaja, and then even on the other side of Mäkelänkatu, it's quite idyllic areas there.
There's like different kind of flavors even within the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Like Konepaja, or machine shop as it is in English.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, this was where they were building a lot of the like locomotives, the engines for the trains in Finland 100 years ago, right?
Yeah.
20th century. And this was all industrial space. It's been remodeled, repurposed. There's, I guess, Pottle Gym, you'd say.
Yeah.
There's breweries. There's lots of things going on here. But this is very different from the Puu Valila just across the street, which almost feels like you're out in the countryside sometimes.
Yeah. So, I guess, like, and these are maybe the main reasons why I find Valila so intriguing, because this Puu Valila, the Wooden Valila, I mean, like, it's fantastic. It's really, you have a small village in the middle of the city, and it's like going back in time. And what's very nice about this Wooden Valila is it's not touristy at all. I mean, like in any other city maybe in the world, if you would have like this picturesque wooden neighborhood so close to the city center, I mean, like there would be tourist shops, there would be more cafes, there would be bars, and there's only one, this little Valila, Pikku Valila.
So I kind of want to get back to the ranking that Time Out published. And we were kind of surprised to see Valila coming in at number 9. Not that Valila isn't cool, but it beat out a lot of other really cool neighborhoods and places we know in the world. I mean, you know, there wasn't like, you know, the classic big names. You think like Williamsburg in Brooklyn or like Shoreditch in London. So how did Helsinki's Valila make it that high?
Well, that's one of the things is because, of course, I mean, like Shoreditch, it's been the coolest neighborhood of London, but that's when I started as a travel journalist, and that was 20 years back. Oh man, I have too long history already. And I remember then it was Shoreditch was the thing. And then every year, like in London, it moved a little bit more east, and now it's quite far east there. But the thing is, with like the Time Out choices of the coolest neighborhood, it's also, it's kind of looking a bit to the future. Mm-hmm. So like, is Valila absolutely the coolest neighborhood now in Helsinki? Maybe not yet, but the idea is to give people new perspectives in that sense that we couldn't choose Punavuori because that's been already long, even Kallio has been long. I mean, if we would have chosen Kallio, it would be like, what's the news here? Or what's the, to get people to experience new areas. And for us, I think Valila fit the right spot.
And that was Antti Helin from Time Out magazine. I've spent a lot of time in both neighborhoods. I first moved to Finland in 2019, and I stayed in the heart of Valila for a few weeks before I moved from the densest part of the country to live and work on a farm in Kainuu, in a village with more cows than people. After that, I moved back down south and lived in Sörnäinen for a while, which is more or less in Kallio, depending on who you ask. I even used to run my own tour, billing the neighborhood as Helsinki's Brooklyn. I would take tourists from all over the world, telling them about my background as a Finnish-American, recalling the working-class history of the district and its landmarks like the century-old Pitkäselta Bridge, Helsinki's oldest restaurant Jututupa, and a few other hidden gems. For the past 2 years, I've been living in what I can only describe as the center of Kallio-flavored Kallio. So it's probably apparent where my sympathies lie. One of the reasons I have this job today is because of my friend Jaakko Keso. Jaakko is a video journalist at Yle Kioski. In the past few years, he's taken on more international topics, traveling to places like Taiwan and the US. But at his core, he's a city boy who lives in Valila and likes to think of Helsinki as an urban playground. And he's also documented life in the capital. So I met up with him to see what he thought about this idea of a cool neighborhood. And, of course, the Valila versus Kallio debate.
What makes a neighborhood cool?
What makes a neighborhood cool? What makes a person cool? It's a, I feel like it's a bit of an oxymoronic question, too. As soon as you say you're cool, then you're no longer cool. So I don't know. What makes a neighborhood nice is, to me, I appreciate good location, good connections to places. I like the fact that I have two grocery stores just a block away from my home, one of them being a 24/7 Alepa. So it's very convenient. I like the convenience of Valila. And I like that the fact that you have some bars, that you have some parks. There's a lot of diversity there in that sense.
You saw the article in Time Out ranking Valila as the ninth coolest neighborhood in the world. What kind of thoughts did you have about that?
I thought it was a bit silly. Because Helsinki is such a small city that I don't think the districts have very distinct characteristics. Surely, like eastern parts of Helsinki, if you compare that to the like Ullanlinna district, you have a clear difference there. But then it's such a small place that it all feels very similar.
But doesn't something like Puu Valila kind of feel distinctly its own?
It's like literally like a few streets, like three streets. Yeah, sure. That one street looks a bit different, but it's not like they have their own culture on that one street of Puu Valila, I think. I doubt that. It's not like the people there are different, or like different demographics from different parts of Valila. I'm very into urban culture, and I like to think of the surrounding city as my playground, as like a sandbox that I can use for my own purposes. I have a tent sauna project. It's a mobile tent sauna that we can set up anywhere. I've been chaining this bicycle pump to a fence in Sörnäinen for 8 years now, going on maybe 20 plus pumps now, probably. I organize underground raves, like techno raves. Those are some examples of what I do. And I think in the greater Kallio region, maybe you have both the actual space for that and also the mental space for that. Maybe the people there living there are more acceptable of that sort of urban culture. I would assume that people living in the southern parts of Helsinki would be maybe more stuck up, maybe not as accepting. That's just I'm a little bit prejudiced, maybe. That's my preconception of them.
Jaakko brings up a few points that might resonate with many of you. Helsinki is a very small city by global standards, and dividing it up into neighborhoods might seem like splitting hairs. My girlfriend and I just went to the US last month, and while there, we walked the entire length of Manhattan. That urban hike had us travel over 20 kilometers, or 13 miles, from Manhattan's northern tip all the way down to the Battery in the south of the island. Everything is bigger in New York than in Helsinki, especially the differences between neighborhoods. The Finnish capital has a population around 690,000, but New York has 8 million. Kallio, officially around 27,000 people, and Valila, around 10,000, would barely even register as neighborhoods in a city that size. Jaakko also addresses this idea of a greater Kallio. In the article for this podcast on our website, yle.fi/news, I added a map highlighting the official borders laid out by the city of Helsinki. Given that this podcast is all about neighborhood delineations, I figured it might be useful for listeners. You might be surprised to see how small Kallio officially is. Places people often associate with the neighborhood technically don't fall within its boundaries. Vasankatu, a cornerstone of the Helsinki nightlife scene, is often considered to be part of Kallio. But if you look at an official map, that part's actually considered Alppiharju, and much of nearby Saarinainen is also considered Kallio by locals. I wanted to see what a Kallio resident thought about this notion of greater Kallio. I met up with Matti Letto, a local who makes videos about urban history and culture in the city. We met at a local bar near Karhupuisto Park.
Yeah, there is Kallio, and there is this like spoken Kallio, or what people use when they speak, that what they mean about Kallio. It also includes like Saarinainen and so on. So it's like the greater Kallio, that's for sure. On the other hand, there is the Teollisuuskatu and the Dallape Park, that then from Harju to Vallila, that separates these regions quite well on the other hand. So I wouldn't say that people rarely think of any places of Vallila as Kallio.
I also wanted to pick Matti's brain on the differences between Vallila and Kallio.
I wasn't surprised, actually, because I would say that Vallila is a cool in a more understated way somehow. Vallila is not the most flamboyant person at the party, but it's someone who is perhaps a bit more quiet, but then you can tell that, okay, she's got stories to tell somehow. So I think Kallio might be cool in a more obvious way, or maybe it's... because part of coolness is also something that it's a bit under the radar, or somehow a bit... not that obvious, I would say. I grew up in the countryside, like a teeny tiny small village in the southwest of Finland, so I know what it's live in the middle of nowhere, and I've chosen to live somewhere else. And I think that's also one part why people are drawn to Kallio, because many people choose to live somewhere else. They don't happen just to born here, but they've like chosen the life that this is the life they want to live, and they come to Kallio because it has perhaps the best place in the whole of Finland for this urban city life. I think what makes Helsinki special is that it's like a compilation of different villages somehow. So it's, even though I agree that maybe the difference between those villages and the neighborhoods is smaller than it might be in some other bigger cities of the world, I still think that part of what makes a city special is that it has the different fields, different neighborhoods and different hubs. So, and I think in the future, I hope at least that those villages become even more their own and find their own identity, that it won't become just one big, huge, generic mass.
And that was Kallio resident Matti Letto. But Kallio and Vallila weren't always Helsinki's hip, desirable parts of town. Up until the 1900s, Helsinki was a predominantly Swedish-speaking city. Kallio and Vallila developed as the city industrialized, increasingly drawing Finnish speakers as workers moved into the capital from the countryside. These neighborhoods initially sprouted up around a concentration of industrial facilities and a large harbor area. That spot is now dotted with high-rise apartments in a place called Kalasatama. For much of their history, these neighborhoods were working class and poorer in comparison to other areas of the city. To get a better understanding of what this was like in the old days, I spoke to Ule News veteran Eddie Hawkins.
You know, the thing about Kallio, that Kallio has always been or always was sort of an outlier, sort of separate from the urban parts of Helsinki. I mean, even if we go, if you go back in history, there's that bridge, Pitkäsilta Bridge, Long Bridge. All right. So starting in about the early 17th century, there was this very sharp division between urban centers and rural centers. So cities actually had customs limits, customs stations on the main roads. So people coming in and out of the city had to go through checkpoints. Mm-hmm. So it was monitored who was in the city, who was leaving the city, and farmers bringing in produce had to actually pay customs on it, on the produce they were going to sell in the city, so on and so forth. Well, the division between urban Helsinki and the rest of the country was right there at that bridge. Mm-hmm. And somehow it became so embedded that even much later, sort of, there was this concept of the other side of Pitkäsilta Bridge. And it was sort of like when one talked about going to the other side of Pitkäsilta Bridge, is sort of like, you know, going to the wrong side of the tracks. Mm-hmm. It was very working class. And in that same area right there, it was, there were also the headquarters of leftist parties, mm-hmm, and trade union movements. So,
and there still are today, too.
They're still there today, yeah. But the whole milieu, the whole surroundings of Kallio, very working class, no fancy shops, just, you know, basics. Even, you know, in the 70s and 80s, there were a few bars there I certainly wouldn't have gone into alone, because they were pretty rough places.
I'll admit that one of the coolest things about Valila is a section called Puuvalila, a small neighborhood filled with century-old timber houses. And Eddie had a lot to say about that, too.
I know that one of the really sort of attractive things about parts of town such as Valila, and traditionally Kallio as well, is the preservation of the wooden structures. And Helsinki was basically, well, Finnish cities basically were built as wooden cities. You know, if you take a jaunt down south, you know, head towards Tallinn, about halfway across the Gulf of Finland, the bedrock changes. So here in the north, it's everything is granite. And about halfway down, it changes to limestone. So you go to Tallinn and you'll see very old buildings that are built out of stone, out of limestone. On the northern side of the Gulf of Finland, you don't find this because granite is really, really difficult to work. So the cities were built of wood, and Helsinki was sort of an exception. When the capital was moved from Turku, which happened to burn down as well in 1827, there's only a very tiny area in Turku that still has these old wooden buildings that survived that fire. So when Helsinki became the capital, the decision was made to build in brick and stone to make it fitting as a capital city. So the Esplanade Park, which people may know, runs from Mannerheimintie, the main city street, down to the South Harbor. It was a dividing line. Everything north of that was to be built in brick and stone. Everything south of that was still being built in wood. Hmm. So this also brings up the Kallio aspect, that brick and stone continued right up to Pitkäsilta, that bridge that led over to Collio. Mm-hmm. Across the bridge, they could build in wood again. That was permitted. So you had these wood structures. And I think it's also fascinating to think about these lovely wooden buildings in places like Vallila or some of the other areas of the city like Capula, where they still exist. Or we look at some other towns like the old town in Porvo, just down the coast. Basically, these are just, they're log cabins. They're built out of log, and they're faced with some kind of wooden siding. But they're log cabins.
And that was our dear colleague, the illustrious Eddie Hawkins. As you probably know, there are pockets of Collio and Vallila that seem a bit rough around the edges. For many, this is what they think of when they picture this part of Helsinki. I'm no stranger to this side of the city. I used to live in Södermalm, where gentrification is taking place in real time, with young urban professionals living in apartments, while drug addicts hang out by Peritori, or as it's known in English, Amphetamine Square. One time in broad daylight, my roommate left his window open in our street-level apartment. You can probably imagine what happened next. Luckily, I was home at the time and chased the intruder out. I suppose it was more of a pop-in rather than a break-in. Generally speaking, though, I never had any other issue living in that part of town. Not to sound callous, but it's a parallel society that you quickly learn to ignore in everyday life. Otherwise, it would be too hard to cope. The problems in the neighborhood have continued for decades, and new street drugs, even more toxic than speed, have exacerbated the issue. I spoke with Robert Koski. For the past 8 years, he's worked with a local church group to help addicts on the street.
The problem is like people on the street, they live in the moment. The addiction at that point usually is quite heavy. They're using a lot of drugs. They have a lot of trauma, usually very heavy trauma. And the street culture creates new traumas all the time. These people aren't in any way more resilient to violence or anything like that. They suffer from it in the same way that anyone else. Many have also mental health care issues. Obviously, they are not in good balance or not diagnosed at all when they're on the streets. So they're suffering from many, many different kind of problems. Also, the shame and low self-esteem and everything that life style creates is quite impairing. So it's difficult to integrate after you spend a longer time in the street drug culture back to the general public. It's a really big job, and for many it takes several years to kind of recover psychologically from all the trauma and everything that's been going on. If the people on the street, what we've been seeing, like first more people on the street, then they start to organize, then there starts to be different kind of criminal structures there. And I think if it keeps going further, then the general public will suffer more from the street drug culture than before. There's always a reason for people to be on the street, and these people you usually see there, I'd call them more like victims than perpetrators, in a sense. They suffer immensely, and most of them want to go away from there, but for some of them, it's the safest place to be.
So, even under the label of cool and hip, problems continue. Doing this story and speaking to people in Collio and Vallila, it isn't really the allure of nightlife, bars, or restaurants that attracts them to these neighborhoods. It's the convenience and pace of life in the city. That's also what I like the most about living here. Few places around the country, or even the city, have as many tram lines running through them. It takes me less than 5 minutes, door to door, to get to the 24-hour grocery store near my apartment. Collio and Vallila are anomalies within Finland, and are among the most densely populated areas in the whole country. For reference, Finland is the least densely populated country in the entire EU. Collio is probably Finland's busiest city neighborhood, with dive bars, flower stores, funeral parlors, sex shops, and century-old saunas. It's got something for everybody.
You can join the conversation too. We want to hear what's on your mind. Just leave us a voice note or text on WhatsApp. Our number is +358 44 421 0909.
And now for a quick roundup of what has been making the headlines in Finland this week. Finland and the United States have reached a deal on icebreakers. Finnish President Alexander Stubb and Prime Minister Petteri Orpo met yesterday with U.S. President Donald Trump at the White House in Washington, D.C. The deal, worth roughly 6.1 billion euros, is set to pave the way for commercial deals between the U.S. Coast Guard and Finnish companies. At the White House press conference announcing the deal, a Finnish journalist asked Trump whether the U.S. would stand by Finland in the event of a Russian invasion.
What if Russia and Vladimir Putin attacks Finland? Would you defend Finland?
I would. Yes, I would. They're a member of NATO. I would. They're great people, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to do that.
In other news, five Finnish activists were detained by Israel this week while trying to deliver aid to Gaza with the global Sumud flotilla. They have since been released and returned home. They reported harsh conditions during their detention, including being blindfolded, handcuffed, kept awake for hours, and denied medication. Meanwhile, the Finnish immigration service Migri has resumed accepting travel documents issued by the Palestinian Authority following a policy review. A recent amendment to the Aliens Act led to some Palestinians receiving deportation notices from Migri. And the Finnish government plans to restrict child home care allowance only to parents who have lived in Finland for at least 3 years. The benefit of around 370 euros per month for children under three is paid to families who care for young ones at home instead of using daycare services. In other news, Employment Minister Matias Marttinen says the government is preparing a temporary tax incentive to encourage Finns working abroad to return home. The measure aims to combat brain drain as the economy slows and unemployment rises. And finally, delivery company Wolt is launching a trial to hire around 100 of its couriers as employees, a shift from their independent entrepreneur model. The pilot will run in the Helsinki metropolitan area. The firm currently uses the services of around 10,000 couriers in Finland. With the weather looking quite autumnal this weekend, dipping down to around 10 Celsius in the Helsinki area, it's the perfect time to find something to watch on Yle Areena. Last time I recommended Patton, so of course I'm going to recommend a similar movie, Oliver Stone's 1986 Best Picture winner, Platoon. Also, my mom has been part of this movie club that over the past few years has watched every single Best Picture chronologically from 1927 onwards. So it's always good for me to cross one off the list and have a film to discuss with her. And that really is all we have time for today. Thanks as always to my colleagues Priya Ramachandran D'Souza and Mark Odom, as well as our audio engineer Katja Kostiainen for putting the show together. And to you for listening to and supporting All Points North. We'll be back again soon. Bye for now.